Well, good morning. Happy Easter, everybody. He is risen. Amen. What a fantastic day it is to be together. So excited. I hope it shows. I did say on Friday morning that today would be a very different tone to the service on Good Friday, because today is all about the celebration of our risen and ascended Lord, who is going to come back again as well. There are two Bible readings that we're going to be looking at today. One, they'll both be up on the screen. One of them is from Luke chapter 24, and the other one is from John chapter 20. Two stories which talk about the very, very first Easter Sunday, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you can follow along on the screen or in the Bibles in the pews. But before I do that, let me just quickly introduce myself. A number of you might not actually know me. So my name is Paul, and it's my joyful privilege. I am the Youth and Outreach Minister here at Brimbank Church of Christ. That's sort of my role, and part of my role is the privilege I get is to share the word and to preach this morning, which is why I'm here now. How's that for an introduction? There we go. That's me. I'd love to talk to you after the service if I've not met you before. So Luke chapter 24, starting at verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.'" Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they all told these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Moving over to John, chapter 20, starting at verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord, and Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where his nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Will you pray with me before we dive into these stories? Dear Heavenly Father, we just ask for your blessing upon all of us this morning, and we pray for your Spirit to move powerfully amongst us. Father, if there is anything that you would want to say this morning, we pray that that would be heard loud and clearly through the words spoken here as we explore and unpack your word. We pray this in the precious name of our risen Jesus. Amen. Have you ever told a story and had the response to your story been, "Yeah, right"? Or have you ever been told a story and responded with the phrase, "Yeah, right"? We get told things all the time that just seem a little bit beyond the pale. Things that are just a little bit too unlikely for us to believe that they might have happened. Now, I'm sort of from the generation of social media. So when something unbelievable happens, we have the advantage of taking a photo of it, getting it on Instagram or Facebook or Snapchat so that everybody can see the unbelievable thing that happened and therefore there are no disputes. But there are also times, particularly in my younger life, before we had access to a lot of those things, where if something awesome or really cool happened and I wanted to tell people about it, if you didn't have witnesses, you'd end up in a situation where people would be, yeah, right. In the two stories that we've listened to this morning, we've got two types of people. We've got the unbelieved and the unbelieving. In fact, thinking about unbelievable stories, I was reflecting this morning while I was sitting in my pew, and I have networks with a number of other youth ministers and other pastors, and I'm actually really looking forward to telling them that on our Resurrection Sunday in 2021, we had people here that were born in the 1920s and the 2020s in one room. I'm like, how awesome is God's family that it expands all generations? People will probably say to that, yeah, right, but I've got witnesses and we're being recorded while we're on Zoom, so we can see that that has happened. But the two types of people in our story, there are the unbelieved and the unbelieving. And we have probably both been both of those types of people throughout our faith journey, as was the case at the very start of the Christian faith journey, the resurrection of Jesus. So before we talk about how we go from being unbelieved to believed, and from being unbelieving to believing, we first need to work out, well, why unbelief? And it's a really simple answer. What happened was unbelievable. Pause and think for a moment. At Christmas time, we talk about virgin birth. Now, I don't know where some of the kids are in terms of studying reproduction and stuff at school, but for the adults, we're familiar with how that is meant to work. We know that Jesus coming into this world is biologically impossible. We know that. What happened was unbelievable, yet we believe it. On Good Friday, through our practice of communion, we proclaimed the Lord's death. We believe that Jesus of Nazareth was executed by the Roman Empire. His heart stopped beating. He stopped breathing. He died. Is that enough for a definition of death, Narelle, as a nurse? Yeah, cool. Medical professional. He was dead. Dead. No life. And yet we believe that he rose from the dead, that someone who was dead came back to life. That is unbelievable. Completely unbelievable. So it really should stand as no surprise that when it first happened, people didn't actually believe it. In fact, if we go over these stories with a fine-tooth comb, we will discover that no one actually believed without experiencing the living, risen Jesus. Let's go to the start of the story. So the first people that were unbelieved were the angels, or the people in white robes who are angels. And I love what they said to the women in Luke chapter 24, verse 5 and 6. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Now, because I'm a youth minister, every time I read this passage, I get a sarcastic teenage voice in my head, because teenage sarcasm I happen to be very fluent in from my time as a youth minister. So this is one of my favorite verses, and I hear it like this. Why are you here? Like, this is where dead people are. Like, he's alive. Like, why are you looking here? Like, this is for dead people? Yeah, he's not here. Like, why are you here? Like, no. Like, that's how I hear this verse. It has that element of, duh. Like, he's not here, duh. I love it. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Why? It beggars belief. The angels are from the presence of God. They understood God's grand plan to rescue humanity from sin and death. The resurrection of Jesus was simply a narrative. They had the spoiler alert all sorted out. They knew it was going to happen. It wasn't a surprise to them. They were simply just waiting and waiting for the time God said, okay, now go send your message to the women. For them, they had already believed it, so they had to pass it on to people who were unbelieving. But the women experienced, in another part of it, we see that the women experienced the living risen Jesus, and they had the experience of the angels, which gave them the conviction they needed to go from being unbelieving to believing. And they moved on to the next person. Notice how when they tell the apostles, it says quite clearly in Scripture, in verse 11 of Luke chapter 24, they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. On Good Friday, we went through a reflective exercise where we looked at putting ourselves in the story. And if we try to do that again on Easter Sunday, imagine the chaos of what is going on. It's only a couple of days after Jesus' execution. His followers are in chaos. And now all of a sudden, his body's gone. And no one seems to know what's actually happening because people are excited. They're saying things that are preposterous. They're saying these unbelievable things that it's like, what on earth? Yeah, right, this is so confusing. It would have been so chaotic. And the women would have been so frightened and so excited when they were rushing to tell the apostles that what they said probably would have sounded like gibberish. Ever had a child try to explain to you a really important story when they're excited? They're hard to understand. Anyone who gets excited is hard to understand. In fact, you may have noticed about me. When I get excited, I speak faster and I become hard to understand. What happened was unbelievable. And so for it would have sounded like nonsense. Even Peter originally was unbelieving. He didn't believe it at the word of the women. He had to go to the tomb and experience it for himself and experience his risen Lord for himself. And then he went from being unbelieving to believing. The story of Thomas, Doubting Thomas, as is his nickname, which he has never been able to escape from these last 2,000 years, he gets a bit of a bad rap because he's the example we hold up as the one who was the doubter, the bad person who didn't believe. But when we read through the story of Scripture of Easter Sunday with a fine-tooth comb, you will find that people didn't believe that Jesus had returned from the grave until they had a supernatural experience with the living, risen Jesus. So yes, Thomas doubted. He had to experience it for himself. No one believed without experiencing. Now, it's interesting when we think about what that means for us. Because what can we do? It is our job. Christ has given us a commission to share the good news about his life, his death, and his resurrection. In fact, today of all days, for those of you who are visiting with us this morning, if you were invited to visit, that's my fault. So you can blame me for that because I told people on Friday that today was a really good day to bring people to church because this is the day that we are at our most jubilant. This is the day that we are most excited. This is the day that everything else that we believe and work towards hangs on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's all about the Easter story. That is the fundamental crux of the gospel of Christ Jesus. So today is a great day to be here because this is the most important story in our faith. But I can say that to everybody and anybody until I'm blue in the face. And it is unlikely to have the impact that I would want it to have without the work of the living, risen Jesus and the Holy Spirit, which we read from the stories he gave to his disciples and told them to receive. It's both incredibly simple, but incredibly difficult at the same time, because we ourselves can only go from being unbelieved people to being believed people by others experiencing the living, risen Jesus. Similarly, in our own journeys and the various steps of faith that we take, we can only go from unbelieving to believing by experiencing the living, risen Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. So how do we do this? What can we do? The first thing we can do, which is always the go-to whenever you're in any doubt as a Christian, when you're not quite sure what to do, the very first thing you should do is... Come on. The very first thing you should do is... There we go. The very first thing you should do is... Pray. Prayer is fundamental to everything that we do. No one is going to come to know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior without us praying for them. We must be praying. We must be a prayerful people. Prayer keeps us in constant contact with God. Scripture is very, very clear. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from Christ, you can do nothing. I've had the privilege of speaking to many of you in the time that I've been here, and I'm looking forward to more and more conversations as we continue to emerge from COVID and we can see each other face to face more often. And what is very, very clear is that there is such a desire amongst our church family to see people come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It is beautiful. It is wonderful. That is the reason the church exists. Any church, every church exists to introduce people to Jesus. It's in our vision statement. The challenging part becomes the how, because they need to experience Jesus. And how do people experience Jesus? They experience Jesus by experiencing the people whose hearts he lives in. I mentioned in my sermon a couple of weeks ago a famous question, a quote that's thrown around in Christian circles, which is, if you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? To reframe that in light of what we're talking about today, when people experience you, do they experience the living, risen Jesus? Everywhere you go and everything you do, everywhere I go and everything I do, people are experiencing me. But my job is to make sure that when they experience me, I am allowing the Holy Spirit and the living, risen Jesus to do the work in my heart, so that when people experience me, they experience the living, risen Jesus. The same is true for you. People are experiencing you all the time. When they do, are they experiencing the living, risen Jesus? It's not always easy. We live in a culture that is very anti-Jesus. But that doesn't change the work that we have to do. So as we move forward from this place, I would encourage you all to be praying about the people that are closest to you, even the people that you don't like that much, that you would really love to experience the living, risen Jesus and come to know him as your personal Lord and Savior. And ask God for the ways that they can experience him. Pray for a supernatural experience. It could be a road to Damascus experience like the Apostle Paul had. Sometimes all we have to do is actually get out of the way and let Jesus do what he was going to do. That can actually be a little bit harder sometimes than being proactive, stepping out of the way and letting God do what he was going to do. But if there's one thing you take away from this Easter Sunday message this morning about going from being unbelieved to unbelieved to believed, and other people going from unbelieving to believing, when people experience you, are they experiencing the living, risen Jesus? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to give you all the praise and all the glory. Lord, because you have risen up from the dead, we know there is now no fear of death, but rather the hope of glory for eternal life with you. Father, as we go about, we pray that the excitement and the joy of Resurrection Sunday would be in our hearts always, so much and so abundantly that it cannot help but overflow, so that when people experience us, they experience the living, risen Jesus. And it's in the living, risen name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Thanks, Carol.